has to be informed by something. The thing that's unusual about algorithms is that they're operating at scale that's sort of unprecedented in human history. So in other words, how something is valued, whether it's for you or for the market or by people like you or what have you, is sort of being operated on with these enormous levers. And so suddenly a stock in the stock market might be worth $100,000 per share or one penny a share because it's being operated on at this scale. One of the ways to think about what the overall long-term effect of this is to use the comparison to agricultural monoculture, which is to say that if you are optimizing everything, if you're bringing everything towards the sort of optimal routine, then what you have is this sort of like stasis. What you have is the condition in which everything is operating at optimum. And that's great, except that then there are always events that are unforeseen, and because the entire system is sort of built around that optimum behavior, they can't accommodate sudden systemic failure, which is part of life.
So life in itself is not algorithmic?
As it turns out, either it is not algorithmic or the algorithms don't have sufficient complexity. Either way, we're screwed.
We know that in economics, algorithms already take over 70% of all trade that's happening. Do you think something similar can happen to cultural production?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is happening in cultural production. So so it's 70% of all trades are sort of determined algorithmically. It's also 60% of all movies that are recommended. 60% of all movies that people get through Netflix, they got them because an algorithm told them to. And so what we have is effectively, you know, people who are making decisions about what they are going to like, or sometimes even whether they liked it, based on a series of similarly modeled algorithms, not so very different from those in the stock market.
So in a way, one of the problems is that if you have products that are all crap, the algorithms might still work very well.
That is a danger. It's also, I mean, there's a larger question about whether taste can be understood algorithmically, whether the premise of preference is something that is effectively modeled at all.
But there's a lot of action moving exactly in this direction. We know Amazon using it for their mm-hmm. their book recommendations. Yep. We just heard a talk about Bing, mm-hmm. where they use the recommendation of friends and they match patterns and see, you know, if you like this and that band, you might like that movie.
Right. And I it's not that those things are necessarily incorrect. It's that what we're doing is we're investing greater and greater parts of ourselves in that fundamental belief. And so what's happening is that it's a little bit like this, that if a headline isn't written in such a way that it is optimized for the algorithm, which is search in Google, it's probably not going to rise to the top. Now, is that news story any less important? No. It may, in fact, be far more important, right? But what we have is a series of algorithms that are determining importance along criteria that aren't human, right? They're determining it along criteria that were human at one point. But the question is, how do we reintegrate human decision-making back into systems that have slowly engineered it out?
So what hopes are there? The exit button?
There's the stop button. The stop button is one popular way out. But I think also there's a model to look at in the financial community, which is it's something called the dark pool. And a dark pool, and this is vastly oversimplifying it, but a dark pool is when it represents traders who have been getting chewed up by algorithms in the open market, are moving major stock liquidity into what are called dark pools, which are basically ways of trading outside of the algorithms that are moving around, And they're doing that because their possibility of profit is diminishing and diminishing as the whole thing moves towards monoculture. When they move it into the dark pools, this may or may not be good for the economy in general because nobody really knows what's happening there. But the thing that's interesting to me is that what you see in the dark pools looks more like conventional markets, like medieval markets. You know, it looks more like how stock markets originally happened, which is basically a bunch of people who are sort of sitting down and trying to figure out arbitrage with each other based on what they understand about what's going to happen. And what they've done is they've basically sort of taken this very human approach outside the conventional market and are re-engineering it sort of from scratch. And that's happening in finance. I'm interested in how that's also happening in music and in film and in culture at large.
So, Kevin Slavin, thanks a lot for
the
talk.
All right, yeah.